Good afternoon, everyone. Calling this meeting of the Tax Committee to order. Representative Norris, I think, was actually reviewing the minutes, which I really want to express my appreciation for. We found a little error, so we're going to hold off on approving them until we have figured it out.
Can the minutes reflect that I actually did review the minutes?
Maybe we'll reflect that in this week's minutes. I think that, or this today's minutes. I think that's a great idea because diligently reviewed the minutes for accuracy. So thank you for that. So we're going to skip over approving the minutes for now until we're sure that they're on point. We have two bills up today. So we did, of course, hear, I think it was three sort of construction materials bills earlier in session. What we have before us today is a bill from Rep. Norris that's a little bit more comprehensive, and then we have another specific one. This is probably going to be, well, I don't know, my intention is for this to be sort of like the last construction materials bills that we hear, but one never knows what could happen in the wild world of taxes. But, once we hear these bills, then we'll kind of figure out how this piece fits in to our overall bill as we're moving forward. So the intent is to lay these over and kind of have that conversation as we're moving forward. So Representative Norris is going to move that House File 1603 be laid over for possible inclusion. Welcome back to your committee, Vice Chair Norris. Whenever you're ready, please go ahead with a description of the bill.
Thank you, Chair Gomez, members of the committee. It's great to be before you presenting a bill today. The bill I'm bringing before you will make our tax system work more efficiently for our local government partners and increase equity regarding who gets the tax breaks that they're entitled to under law. I think it's important to highlight right off the start that this bill does not create any new tax exemption. Under current Minnesota law, local units of governments like cities, counties, townships, and school districts are exempted from paying state sales tax on construction materials. But to utilize this exemption, they must undertake a complex process of either, one, separately bidding labor and materials, designating the contractor as a purchasing agent, and assuming liability for damages caused by defective materials or delivery delays, or two, they can purchase all of the materials directly themselves, which is impractical for most projects. As a result, most local governments just kind of throw their hands up and they pay the state sales tax, or they come to the legislature seeking an individual exemption. Key stakeholder groups worked with the Department of Revenue to come up with the process in this bill that allows a local unit of government to apply for a refund of the state sales tax after completion of the project. This streamlines the process for local units of government and allows DOR to ensure that the sales tax savings are realized by the exempt entity and not the contractor. This bill offers two major benefits. First, it makes it much simpler and efficient for our local government partners to use the exemption that they're already entitled to under state law. And two, it creates more equity by eliminating the current system where entities with sufficient administrative wherewithal and political influence at the Capitol get one-off exemptions and others do not. I'd like to thank my bipartisan group of co-authors on the committee for their support of this legislation. And with that, I'll turn it over to our testifiers. And Chair Gomez, if we can, Mr. Gridley would like to testify first.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, Representative Norris. Appreciate that overview. I was going to ask Ms. Hagler to go over some of the intricacies of it, but I think you did such a good job. I don't see any need to go over to her, so you're making her job easier today. Thank you for that. So to Mr. Clint Gridley, welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself for the record and go ahead with your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Clint Gridley. I serve as the city administrator for the city of Woodbury. I'm going to be your case example, speaking both to specifically our request and also this larger request. So as I mentioned, and as mentioned just I'd like to thank Representative Norris for this bill, along with the other members of the committee, for sponsoring it. So House File 1603 is a straightforward bill that, as mentioned, would permanently allow all local government construction projects, not just the ones in Woodbury, but for all local governments across the state, to receive the benefit of a sales tax exemption through a streamlined refund process identical to the process used in House File 1623, which I'm going to be testifying in a few minutes about. So we understand that the revenue impact of this bill is high. In the first full year of the refund process, the general fund impact is $77 million. But please keep in mind, this means that local governments and other exempt entities are paying $77 million in sales tax on projects that technically but are not practically exempt because the current process to receive the exemption is cumbersome and risky, and we certainly can testify to that. As a city official who works closely with elected city councils that watches every penny of their budget, this is a very real consideration, is why we are also seeking a specific exemption for Woodbury in House File 1623. But on behalf of all local governments, securing this refund process will have direct benefits to our taxpayers through lower construction costs for public facilities, water treatment projects, and even local roads. Thank you for the opportunity to testify before you, and I urge you to support House File 1603.
Thank you so much for your testimony. We appreciate it. Next up, we're going to, Mr. Carlson, if you want to come up, and then Matt Mossman, you're on deck. And if there are questions later when we get to them to discussion, we'll call you back up. Welcome to the committee.
Madam Chair, members, my name is Gary Carlson. I work with the League of Minnesota Cities. We represent 837 of the 854 cities in Minnesota. And we do testify today in support of this bill. I'd like to thank Representative Norris for authoring this bill and Representatives David Swadzinski and Joachim on the committee for co-sponsoring the bill. This is an issue I've been working on since the general exemption was granted to cities in 2013. And this is one cleanup piece that I would really like to get done. It is an issue that, as Mr. Gridley testified, we are technically exempt on these purchases at the city and county level, but practically speaking, it just doesn't work. And I don't want to blame the Department of Revenue on the technical aspects. We understand that their job is to enforce the tax laws, and they want to make sure that purchases that should be taxable remain taxable, while purchases that are exempt are exempt. That's why back in, I think, 2014 or 15, we first sat down with then-Commissioner Cynthia Bowerly, and we hashed out a process by which we could make this work for the Department of Revenue. They could enforce the law, and our cities and counties and other jurisdictions could take advantage of the exemption that really is due on these purchases. So, Madam Chair, I would just encourage the committee, let's get this done this year. This is my last full year with the League of Cities, and I have some cleanup issues I would like to get done, and this is one of those that we've had strong bipartisan support. We know the number is eye-opening, but keep in mind, $77 million is coming out of our local property taxpayers' pockets to pay for that state sales tax infusion. So thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Thank you so much, Mr. Carlson, and for your service to our state. And we want to give you a really nice retirement present, I promise. all right. Next up, Mr. Mossman. Welcome. Thank you for being here with us.
Madam Chair and members, Matt Mossman from the Minnesota Inter-County Association. I'm pretty sure I probably should have just stopped with Mr. Carlson's testimony. I will just join the chorus of supporters from the county's perspective. And again, thank Representative Norris for carrying this and co-authors as well, Swadzinski, Coulter, Davids, and Joachim, and encourage others to join in what has been a bipartisan effort over many years. And I'll just, you know, my points are the same, so I'm just going to underscore them quickly. In 2013, when this change was made, it was the policy intent of the legislature that these purchases by local governments not be taxable, and that policy intent simply won't be effectuated and realized until we're able to move to this refund exemption for all local projects. I think that's been demonstrated time and again. It is simply, as has been said by Representative Norris, just not practical on the and workable on the project level to bid for these materials separately, which I think really underscores the importance of tax fairness as well in two ways. Not every nonprofit that this impacts as well, not every school district, not every town or city or county is necessarily going to be in a position to seek or achieve a special law exemption that would be able to get this refund exemption. That's one way. The other way is that a lot of these materials might not be have the pizzazz of a construction project that is easily sort of something you can wrap your arms around and seek a special proposal for. They might be for the routine purchase of what you do to upkeep your parks and trails for your community. It might be what you do to get more lane miles done and road construction materials, and the better and more fair and more even tax policies for this to be in place for all local governments. So we just really, again, appreciate support and encourage that this be the year that it gets done. The price that keeps going up is simply indicative, I think, would argue, of the impractical effect of what we have in place now. So thank you, Madam Chair and members.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Tiffany Gustin is next on the list. Welcome to the committee. Please just say your name and go ahead with your testimony.
Wonderful, thank you. My name is Tiffany Gustin. I am the Associate Director of Management and Insurance Trust Services. How exciting does that sound? Of the Minnesota School Boards Association. I'm speaking today on behalf of Minnesota's school districts, who, along with the other government organizations and nonprofits affected by the bill, respectfully request your support of House File 1603. In respect of your time, I will not remind you of the technical aspects of the bill, but once again, I would like to commend Representative Norris for bringing the bill forward and providing that summary for you as well. Instead, I will use this time to provide you with a few examples of school districts, and when I say school districts, I mean the students, who will directly benefit by this bill becoming law. On Tuesday, there were three school districts that successfully passed bond referendums. And those referendums totaled $41.7 million in projects that will be used to help improve our schools. In a document that was created by the Department of Revenue, there was an estimate that approximately 40% of project costs are supplies and materials that would be affected by the sales tax exemption in this bill. So when you add up the impact of just these three projects, we're looking at $1.14 million in sales tax that will be saved through these projects. Those dollars will partially be, I suspect, used to absorb some of the costs of inflation as our project costs have gone up. In all three of these cases, these were bills or referendums that were brought back to the taxpayers after failed referendums. And in each of those cases, the project cost increased due to inflation. So if this bill passes and sales tax is not applicable, again, it will help these school districts to be able to once again provide the level of project support that was originally part of that scope. Whether school districts are completing these construction projects with dollars approved through these referenda or recent successful other bond referendums or other funding streams, including LTFM, long-term facilities maintenance, inflation has wreaked havoc on those projects, again, beyond the scope of just these three. All of these school districts will have to find a way to supplement their planned funding sources. One obvious option is to use the general fund. If that mechanism is used, those funds come directly out of our classrooms. Passage of the sales tax exemption will provide much needed budget relief. While eliminating the sales tax may not completely make up for the increased dollars due to inflation, it will certainly ease the burden. Passage of this sales tax exemption will allow school districts to build or remodel their facilities, incorporate much needed safety measures, and create learning environments in where all of our children can thrive, whether at the pre-kindergarten level or on through high school. Passage of the sales tax exemption will keep dollars available to maintain our classroom for our 800 plus thousand students in the state of Minnesota, as well as to continue to provide the quality education that they deserve. Thank you so much for your time, and I will stand for any questions.
Thank you very much, Ms. Dustin. Is there anyone else who wishes to testify on this bill? That's the end of my pre-filed list. I'm not seeing anyone. Is there a member discussion? Representative Joachim.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And maybe just on the tail end of having Ms. Tiffany Gustin up from MSBA, one of the other reasons that this is needed is with school districts and their bond and levies, not only will this save districts money, in turn will save their property taxpayers money because they levy for these. Part of what we do in this realm, in the tax realm, and in our education finance is equalizing those levies so that we want to make sure that where a kid's living, their zip code doesn't determine what type of education they get. So when districts go out for these bond and levies, if they're a property poor district, the state kicks in money to equalize that levy to help with the burden on their property taxpayers. So this also saves state money when we look at this little segment of it. So just wanted to point that out. Thanks.
Thank you very much for providing that context. All these pieces all seem to fit together in various ways. Any other member discussion? Not seeing any. Representative Norris, did you have any closing comments?
Thanks, Chair Gomez. I'll just add, I think, you know, Ms. Gustin really highlighted, you know, the importance of this. I was in education finance yesterday fighting for more funding for our schools to the general formula. My goal with that is not to have the schools turn around and have to pay that back to the state in the form of sales tax when they need to build a new building. And so I think this is an idea whose time has hopefully come, and it'll promote efficiency and equity in our tax system. So encourage inclusion of it in our omnibus.
All right. Thank you very much. And with that, Representative Norris moves that House renews his motion that House File 1603 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill, and it's laid over. All right. Next up is House File 1534. Representative Akam, welcome to the committee. Great to see you. I'm going to move that House File 1534 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. Representative Akam, please go ahead with your description of your bill.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair and members. Appreciate the opportunity to be in the tax committee today. And I appreciate your consideration of House File 1534 for possible inclusion. House File 1534 provides a sales tax exemption on construction materials used in the construction of the regional public downtown lakefront located in Wayzata. That provides public access and services to Minnesotans from across the state. And I do just want to point out that I believe in your packets is a form indicating some of the uses as well as the cost. If you've not been to or have visited the Panaway in Wayzata, I encourage you to do so. This project is one of the few public places that Minnesotans can access and enjoy Lake Minnetonka. In fact, it's one of the largest of the lake, largest pieces of lakeshore, where the public can access the lake, and therefore is an extremely busy gathering spot just west for the West Metro and beyond. Madam Chair, I am aware that both sides of the aisle have supported this sound tax policy over the years, and I want to thank the committee for your work in this area. Finally, this legislation was included in the omnibus tax bill last year, but didn't quite make it to the governor's desk, and was carried by our former colleague, Representative Jerry Hertas, who represented Wayzata prior to redistricting. So with that, Madam Chair, I want to turn it over to the city manager of Wayzata, Jeff Dahl.
Excellent. Thank you, Representative Akam. Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself for the record and go ahead with your testimony.
Thank you and good evening, Madam Chair and committee members. Thank you, Representative Akam, for your support for this bill. My name is Jeffrey Dahl. I'm the city manager for the city of Wayzata. And I'm just going to talk a little bit more in detail about Representative Akam had mentioned about this bill. First off, again, thanks for allowing us to testify today. Our request for a sales tax exemption for all materials related to Panaway on Wayzata Bay is a regional project. Phase one, if you haven't been out there yet, is already built, and we are hoping to commence construction on phase two, which really is the cornerstone, the gem of the project. It's the boardwalk on Lake Minnetonka. We're hoping to commence that later this year. A lot of people think the city of Wayzata is a huge town with a lot of resources. The fact is that Wayzata is a town less than 5,000 people. And it has become, especially with phase one built, a regional destination, again, partially thanks to the first phase of this project. So moving forward with the future phases of the project, with the boardwalk and some of the other improvements, we are going to restore the ecology of the shoreline. We are going to preserve historical sites. And I would say arguably the most important component of the project is building the boardwalk, allowing people, residents, people from the surrounding region to have access to the lake, so you don't have to live on the lake to have that access. We think that is very, very important. So given the nature of this project, the rising costs, the circumstances circumstances of our small community, paired with the regional benefits of this project, we are respectfully requesting all components of the project be exempt from sales tax on materials and supplies. I think the one-page summary that you have in front of you kind of spells out the request and the high-level kind of summary of the project. So if you have any questions on the project itself or the specifics of the requests, I will stand for any questions. Thanks again for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for being with us, Mr. Dahl, Mayor Dahl. Excuse me, sorry.
Hey.
You're not the mayor. You're the city manager. Okay.
He gets paid more.
Possibly. We're not sure if we just promoted or demoted you. We've been doing that lately.
Demoted.
In Texas.
No,
I'm just kidding. Okay, thank you so much for being here. Is there anybody else who wishes to testify? Not seeing any. Two-member discussion. Representative Davids.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I would respectfully disagree with Representative Acomb on one thing here. She said this is sound tax policy. This is not sound tax policy. What would be sound tax policy would be if we passed Representative Norse's bill. Now, I am totally in support of Representative Acomb's bill. Retroactive, we have to think a little bit about from time to time. And I think the next one's retroactive, too. No, it's not. Okay, just this one. Okay. But it's just too bad they have to come in and do this. This should not have been an issue that you'd have to deal with. And I'm totally supporting what you're doing here. We basically, Madam Chair, would have to have the Acomb bill also, because the Norse bill would not cover it, because the Norse bill goes forward. Is that correct? Is that correct? Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. It's a good bill.
Thank you, Representative Davids. Is there any further discussion? Representative Weiner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess maybe I didn't speak up early enough on the last one, but this one brings up the other question, is why would we roll this into an omnibus bill, especially the last one, if we have bipartisan support? Couldn't we move ahead with Representative Norris's bill, and what would be the thought process of rolling that back?
Yeah, thank you. I guess I think that's for me. So I'll respond to that one. So we don't have budget targets. This is the kind of thing, like, we all know this is sort of an absurd practice, right, that we're engaging in. And my impression, I guess, and I'm looking to Representative Davids, it seems like it's the reason that we kind of are perpetually having this conversation is around sort of the budgetary implications, and that we get into these places where it's like we're having to, you know, live in a limited world and decide our priorities, and whether this, when you sort of look at the whole picture of what we're doing in the larger tax bill, how it fits in, and how it is that we can make it work. We don't send early tax bills with revenue implications. Generally, I don't think at all. Maybe they do. Maybe Rep. Davids will enlighten us. But basically, we have to put together one kind of cohesive tax bill. If we start sending out different parts of it, it has implications for what happens, you know, when it gets to the floor of the different bodies. And so that's kind of my understanding. I know Representative Davids might have a couple comments to add about. Because, you know, I've been here for like 4 years and he's been here a couple minutes longer, so he might be able to help us out with some of those sort of traditions around how it is that we move bills in and out of the committee, especially in the tax realm, because it's a little bit different. So, Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And it's a very, very good question, because we did it for the tax conformity bill. We made an offer on another bill that is still in the committee, I believe. As the longest serving tax chair in history, tied with who?
Abrams
and Lincheski, right?
Oh.
Where is Lincheski?
Yeah, here. She was here.
There's two.
Oh, there she is. We have a couple of longest serving tax chairs.
And all that means basically is that I'm very old and I get really good parking. That's all it means. That being said, Madam Chair, the reason that I have always, you know, you have to have an ironclad agreement with the other side that there's no amendments coming, because what will happen if there's a tax bill sent separately, which has happened in my history here, I call it death by a thousand cuts. The other side will have amendments ad nauseum, and it's not productive. And so I was maybe more of a stickler than anyone on not having any tax bills except the omnibus tax bill, other than a conformity bill. But and I hope we can work with the chair on some things that would make sense just to get out of here, just get them out of here. I don't, you know, and that'll be your judgment on that. So, but very good question, but you got to be careful in tax committee on bills on the floor.
Yeah, thank you very much for that context, Representative Davids. And as the thus far shortest serving tax chair ever, I just appreciate the perspective. So, Representative Wiener.
I appreciate the experience, because I do look to that. You know, what has happened in the past is important. The conformity bill obviously was brought up, was my next question.
Yeah.
And if we have something where we have agreement on both sides, we seem to have so little of that now, whereas if we can move forward on one or two good things, I think it would be good. But there again, I look to the experience of the senior legislators as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Wiener. I do just want to say on the conformity piece, is just that, you know, to Representative David's point about the ironclad agreement, that's sort of because I think in part because there's a tradition of bipartisan agreement and moving early conformity bills because of, you know, those issues about bumping up against the tax filing deadline, that is a place where we have been able traditionally to like get everybody to agree, okay, like this is not the vehicle for your personal project. This is something that's like for the greater good. And I do want to say that, I know I'm sure we made it look effortless, but that was like a lot of work. It was a lot of work. It was a lot of work on our staff and particularly on our staff and the staff of the department and the staff of the Senate. And so, you know, it's just kind of like a lot goes into getting to the point where you can send a tax bill forward a few days into session with unanimous support in both bodies. And we're not there on this, in part because I think the work hasn't been done. I think conformity bills are just a little bit different than regular old tax bills. Not that there's anything regular about this tax bill. I'm sorry if I implied that. But, okay, thank you. Any other member discussion? Thank you, Representative Akam. We had sort of a little bit of a we went a little out of the purview of your bill while we were sitting here, but appreciate your indulgence. Okay, not seeing any further discussion. Any final comments you wanted to share with us, Representative Akam?
Nice to see how much fun you all have in the tax committee. So thanks for letting me be here to join in on that today. And appreciate the support, Representative Daniels, for the bill and others. And just hope that you can include it in the end.
Thank you very much, Representative Akam. And you're always welcome to come join the fun. With that, I would like to renew my motion that House File 1534 be laid over for possible inclusion in the tax omnibus bill. And it is laid over. All right. Next up, Representative Cha, I believe, has joined us, House File 1623, and I'd like to move that 1623 be laid over for possible inclusion in a future omnibus tax bill. Welcome to the committee. Good to see you.
All right. Nice to be on this side. Before I start, since this is the first time...
Oh, man, here we go.
Yes. Yes. Move this bill. At the top of the jelly bean are some sugar-free gummies.
All right. Eat the gummies at your own peril, perhaps. Who knows? Sorry.
Thank you, Chair Gomez and committee, for hearing on HF 1623, a bill to provide sales tax exemption on materials used in the construction of the Centro Park in Woodbury. Under current state law, sales to purchases by local governments are exempt from sales tax. The exemption does not apply, however, to construction materials purchased by a contractor or subcontractors as part of the lump sum or similar type of contract with a guaranteed maximum price covering both labor and materials for the use in the project. This bill provides a sales tax exemption for materials and supplies used as consumed in the equipment incorporated into the construction, reconstruction, upgrade, expansion, renovation, or remodeling of Central Park project in Woodbury. Sales tax must be paid upfront and then refunded under provision of current law, if effective for sales and purchase made after June 30th, 2023 and before January 1st, 2026. Central Park is a multi-use, multi-space facility that houses a library, playground, amphitheater, and a recreational space. It is a gathering and an event place that serves the polling. It's a polling location also. The library that is housed inside Central Park is the sixth most visited library in the state, and it also houses the sixth largest circulation of library materials in the state of Minnesota. The library serves four school districts with an average of 1,050 visitors per day. The playground attracts over 23,000 annual admissions to our community members. It is also a center hub for seniors in Woodbury. With our long winters, it is one of the few spaces that children and families and seniors can stay inside and enjoy the community. This facility was drawn multicultural, multi-generational visitors for decades. It is in the need of renovation after 20 years. Just to name a few, deferred maintenance, updates to comply with the ADA, increased public gathering spaces in the parking area, and replace the indoor playground that is deteriorating. You should have a complete list of renovations in your packet today. And Chair Gomez, I do have City Manager Clinton Gridley, who testified earlier, here today to tell you more about the project. And I would like to yield the remainder of my time to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Representative Cha. Welcome back. Mr. Gridley, please go ahead with your testimony.
Hello again. Thank you, Madam Chair and members, for allowing the City of Woodbury to come again before you for House File 1623. So again, I'm Clint Gridley. I serve as City Administrator for the City of Woodbury, and I appreciate Representative Cha and Hemmingson Yeager for their support and leadership in assisting the City of Woodbury on this. So in Woodbury, as was mentioned by Representative Cha, we're honored to host a great public amenity, Central Park, for the citizens of the East Metro and indeed the entire state of Minnesota. Central Park is our beloved gathering space in the city of Woodbury. We happily host people from across the region with multicultural, multi-generational educational and recreational program opportunities offered throughout the facility. We are at the point in the life cycle of Central Park that we need major upgrades, remodeling and construction throughout the facility. This includes, as was mentioned, updates to our accessibility, increase in wayfinding, adding single-use restrooms, increasing multi-purpose space capacity for larger events, meetings, and public programs. So on behalf of the City of Woodbury, I humbly ask you to consider exempting our construction materials as presented in House File 1623 for the Minnesota State Sales Tax. We are indeed aware that this type of request has been granted for many public facilities. We are pleased that this common sense tax policy ensures that local government does not pay state sales tax on construction materials and reduces and increases the cost of the project. So we provided you an infographic on the project and materials. And again, thank you, Madam Chair and members. I stand for questions.
Thank you very much, Mr. Gridley. So we're going to turn to member discussion. Representative Davids.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And maybe this question is to Ms. Hagler. The project includes, and then we have the list of all the different things the project includes, under current law, would all of these categories be acceptable under current law for an exemption, or are we broadening that a bit?
Ms. Hagler.
Madam Chair and Representative Davids, so the exemption for local governments, it doesn't really matter the type of project. However, there is a requirement that the facility or building be primarily used by the city, and I would have to double check with the department what the primarily used, how that's interpreted for the exemption. So if we were to go ahead with this bill, it might need to stand on its own. In addition to, let's say, like the broader exemption that Representative Norris just brought before us. So I would have to double check with them on to make sure that those projects would be encompassed.
Representative
Davis. Madam Chair and Ms. Hagler, but obviously if we did pass this, then then they qualify, because we're the legislature. We can do whatever we want, basically, right? You don't know.
Yeah,
no,
let's not.
You don't need to answer that. I'm sorry.
Question.
I would just like to put all of my support behind this bill, regardless of how that issue would come out. I think they should be doing this.
Thank you, Representative Davids. Is there any further member discussion on House File 1623? All right. I'm not seeing any. Representative Cha, any closing comments for us?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I know you and Representative Davids and many others on this tax may have attempted to provide sales tax exemptions for public projects in the past and projects across the state. So I want to thank you for your leadership on that. I also want to thank former Representative Ann Lachesky from Woodbury, who accompanied me today. And while I do not serve on the tax committee, I understand that the tax policy around public projects and sales tax exemptions and construction have enjoyed broad bipartisan support in general. So I want to thank this committee, and thank you for hearing HF 1623.
Thank you very much, Representative Cha, for being with us today. With that, I'm going to renew my motion that House File 1623 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill, and it's laid over. Thanks for being here. All right, before we adjourn, that was our last bill. We do have the actual minutes that were assiduously examined by Vice Chair Norris. Vice Chair Norris, would you like to move that we adopt the minutes for February 14th, 2023?
Yes, hot off the presses. Chair Gomez, I move to approve the February 14th Valentine's Day minutes reflecting all the love in the tax committee.
That's right. We did say taxes are about love. We weren't lying. Okay. Is there any discussion to the motion? Not seeing any. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, please say no. The motion carries, and the minutes for February 14th, 2023 are adopted.
Madam Chair.
Representative Davids.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think that this committee should name, I was thinking of a name for today's bills here, and I was thinking Gary Carlson Memorial, David. I think he, I hope I'm about 20 years premature.
I was going to say, Representative.
Let's just call it Gary Carlson Day at the Capitol.
Gary Carlson, I have the gavel, so I make the rules, apparently, according to Representative David. So it's Gary Carlson Day. Welcome, everybody. Thanks for being here. It's a very special day. All right. And with that, we are adjourned. Thanks, everyone.